terrific. And because we've got a lot of materials to cover today and share a lot of good news with you, I would like to ask that everybody who does not have an assigned speaking role, please leave themselves on mute. If you experience some technical difficulties, maybe you can use the chat feature, and Jonathan and we'll be hopefully monitoring that, and we'll see if we can get some assistance. So, whoops, I already went past one slide. So, welcome to our capital campaign. It's our turn to restore, recommit, renew, reclaim, and re-engage. Here's the agenda that we're going to try to follow today. I've got just some welcoming remarks, and then we'll turn it over to Jonathan to lead us in opening prayer. Both myself, but primarily Amy, is going to be telling you about the status of projects, both outside and in. We have a wonderful video to share that Lane has produced for us. He's our video whiz. It's really a shame that he couldn't join us today, but he knows the gem that he's created, and you'll all see it pretty soon. And then finally, as I was urging everybody to rush home to be ready to open their present, Karen will lead us in that exercise. Bill and Jay will tell us about how the quiet phase has gone. Gail will tell us about what comes next. And then we'll all say our a closing prayer together. So I think I covered the logistics. We are being recorded, so this event can be shared in numerous ways going forward. And we're asking folks to stay on mute. So at this point, I will stop my screen sharing so that Jonathan can open us in prayer.
Great, thank you. I invite us to be in a spirit of prayer. I also invite the co-hosts who are the folks who are co-hosts while I'm praying and during my remarks, maybe to let additional people come in as they do, because we have more people coming in all the time here. So I invite you to be in a spirit of prayer. So let us pray together. A loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your spirit up and about and in our midst, and especially your inspirited wind that is helping to catch our sails and to propel us well far out of harbor and into those places that you would have us go, away from safety, but also into lands that are promised lands, into lands that are the ones that you would have us be in. And so in the midst of our time of being together to consider this capital campaign, we ask by your spirit that we remember that our call is to be your people in the world, to be instruments of your grace and peace, to be active there, preaching and proclaiming and embodying your love in the world. And so help us as we turn to the many exciting things we'll hear about monies that have been raised and more to go, and about details of possible additional projects to be taken up, that we remember to stay focused upon you and your call on our hearts, and in particular, how best to be that your church in the world, expressing those things that you would have us express and helping us to be those ambassadors of grace and peace and so much more. We give you thanks and praise for all of that, and be upon this meeting and inspire us to have open hearts and minds to the possibilities that are among us. We give you thanks and praise for all of that and so much more. And in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I have been thinking about the journey. It has been indeed quite a journey for you, beloved First Church friends, a day of a kickoff today and a start of something truly consequential in the life of this church. And yet it's a day that's really been in the making for many, many years. And as it turns out, I got to be a part of that early on. But the truth is, it has been so long ago that I frankly can't remember the details myself. Was it early 2019 or maybe even 2018 when one of you, it may have even been Vicki Guest, I don't remember, was in touch with me in my role as Associate Conference Minister for Stewardship and Financial Develop to come here to the church and to talk about capital campaigns and how exciting they can be and all the things that can be accomplished through them and how it can be a part of how we are God's faithful people. I don't frankly remember. I just can't. But I do remember this. I remember explicitly that it was clear even on that day that church leaders knew that a capital campaign was something that was going to happen one way or another. There was a little trepidation that day, I remember, but I also remember that it was only a matter of time until this happened. And so here you are kicking off the public phase of the campaign, and as I am confident you are soon going to hear, riding on the winds of the success of the of the campaign's quiet phase. Yes, I was there. I was there in on early on when the campaign was considered. And I'll be here through the end of this campaign to celebrate with you. But the truth is, I won't be with you to experience how the projects that you're going to take on through this campaign and complete will turn out. I'm not going to see that. You will be seeing that, however. And I won't see exactly how these things are going to be a part of your mission and ministry, how it extends it into the world. Of course, though I am leaving you a bit earlier than anticipated, that was always going to be the case. This campaign and what it heralds was always going to be part of a future that I would see you embark on, but not one into which I was going to accompany you. So it is this longer term future that you have together without me, or even with another interim who was going to succeed me, that today is really about. In the days that follow, I hope you'll be thinking about that future together, especially as many of you make determinations about how you will participate in this campaign through your generous giving, your pledging. I hope especially, as I've said to some of you, I hope especially that you'll have in mind that bound up in these determinations is not only what you feel you can do, but what your hearts tell you you must do. What you must do to contribute toward an effort to make the church building a safe, welcoming, accessible, and flexible spiritual home and ministry tool, to help this church you love to be the one God calls it to be and is calling it to be, in part because you recognize that you stand upon the shoulders of spiritual ancestors who, in their own time, over more than three centuries, did what they believe they must do to ensure that this congregation's vital life in the Natick community and beyond would continue. I hope you will sense the historic moment in which you find yourselves as you think about your part in this campaign effort. You stand at the convergence of necessary building renovations, a new chapter together that will be marked by the calling of a new pastoral leader in the coming months, and the awareness of emerging needs and opportunities that you that have arisen during this time of COVID and all that it has meant. Your community and the world have never been more in need of First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm absolutely sure of that. As a place of extravagant welcome and continued lived testimony to the good news of God's expansive love for all people in the creation. And this campaign and the projects that it will fund are going to help this church live in to such a calling. So my heart tells me that this church's future is indeed a bright one. As storied and impactful as your history has been, I believe that this church's best days are yet to come. And I can guarantee you that your spiritual ancestors, who gave what they could and what they felt they must in their time, believed that too. May your giving honor them, but above all, honor this congregation's ongoing call to be a potent place of living and just ministry and mission in a world that so desperately needs it. Blessings to all of you, good and faithful servants, in this good and faithful effort.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Thank you for those words. Very inspiring. Thank you for being a part of our journey. We will certainly miss you, but if we are successful in what we are setting out to do, and we will be, you will hear of us because we continue and intend to be a force in the world. So I am going to share my screen again to come back to the agenda, which hopefully will show up here. Good. And then I'll move on to the next slide, which is an overview of projects, both outside and inside. Just a couple of minutes on the outside. And that's the stuff that we had to start, almost coming up on a year ago now, last fall. For preservation and safety reasons, we began the work on our steeple. It is nearing completion now with new roofing materials at both the middle level of the steeple and the bottom sweep level of the steeple. Newly repaired masonry in the belfry area, a new steel anchoring system to more securely hold the heavy steel grates or decorative grills at the belfry level that allow the wonderful sound of our bell to echo out through the town. All of that work is nearing completion now. And we expect the staging to hopefully be coming down by the end of November, possibly right around Celebration Sunday. In addition to the work on the steeple and the belfry area, we will also be doing some of the most pressing stained glass repair. That's always a work in progress with a church such as ours, and that and some associated window work will get done when we get good weather again, probably in the spring. So that's been the most visible part of the project so far, the outside. But the inside is where our attention has been over the course of the summer for these two goals of accessibility of the space, spaces in the building to everyone, and flexibility for the space to be used not only for our own worship purposes and other church activities, but other community activities. In terms of the progress, we have had two teams hard at work all summer long. They've been co-led by a trio of Alyssa Springer, Amy Foley, and Steve Evers. And I am now going to stop my share so that Amy can take over the presentation at this point to share with you the work of those two teams. So I will stop my share. And Amy, go ahead and share your screens.
Thank you, Doug. Hopefully you can see that now. And I guess I just want to say, Doug, thanks to you for all the time you spent up in that steeple, way up there, checking on all the work that's been going on. It's amazing to think about. And thank you so much. So as Doug mentioned, there's been a trio sort of managing two teams. I have been co-chairing the sanctuary team together with Steve Evers and the kitchen team together with Alyssa Springer. And although we've been in a quiet phase of the campaign, these teams have been anything but quiet. We have been very busy in this, what we're calling from a design standpoint, a conceptual phase. So we have been meeting bi-weekly with each group for the past 3 months. And all of those meetings have been documented with meeting minutes and so forth. And we have also established for each of those groups goals, and the goals have been reviewed and updated every time we meet to make sure that we're just thinking about everything and staying current. And the goals are based on the mission of the church, what the capital, the faith in our future group has come back with as far as what the goals of the campaign are. And it's really nice to have those documented so we don't lose sight of why we're doing this. In addition to those meetings, we've also had a whole series of breakout meetings where we've met and we've taken measurements. We've counted pew seat capacities and we've looked at sight lines at, from different angles in the sanctuary. In the kitchen, we've also done quite a bit of cleaning out and moving of materials and items that are not used regularly out of the kitchen to try to assess the amount of space we actually do need. We have also gone off on many different tours and groups of 2 to 4 people going, and we've looked at 7 different local places of worship. And some of those we've looked at their sanctuaries and some their kitchens and in some both. And for all of those different trips, we've documented with pros and cons and photos and then reviewed those together as a group. In addition to that, we've had guests come and visit with us. We had Lisa Hanna, who is an expert in set design, look at our sanctuary. And we met with Jenny Elowich from Walnut Hill. And there's even been some testing of instruments and acoustics a little bit in that area. We met with Lori Zaft. She's with the NADIC Commission on Disabilities. We have some other meetings planned regarding that disabilities as well. We have also developed some conceptual sketches for both of the projects. Different team members, such as Sarah Lynn and myself, have created sketches. We have, we're fortunate to have architects on our team. So Steve Evers has been doing several designs for the sanctuary, and Alyssa Springer has been doing actual drawings for us for the kitchen. And in addition to those concepts, we have brought on an architect with Gillett, Vivian, and Veman. We call them GVV, and we've been working specifically with Ann Vivian from that company. And Ann has been working on some concepts for the sanctuary. So we'll be looking at one of those options in a minute. And then once we had those concepts developed, we developed a rough order magnitude budget. We have a budget for the sanctuary, which is a line item estimate. And having that allows us to pull out different pieces of that estimate going forward so we can see if we do or do not do certain scope, what that cost means. We also developed 3 separate estimates for the kitchen. And we'll talk about those in a minute as well. So first, I'd like to just talk about the sanctuary. So there are lots of different things we're planning to do in the sanctuary, but the majority of our efforts over the past 3 months have been focused on the chancel design, because that needs to get nailed down because it affects all of the other components that we're looking to improve. And so our focus for that chancel design has been on flexibility, meeting the church needs for all of the different programming activities that take place, but also the needs that outside groups who may want to use our lovely sanctuary and what they those needs may be. So we've been looking at how can we create a space that can be the most flexible and used for a variety of different things in the future. We've looked at accessibility, regarding if we were to have a platform, making sure that someone who is physically impaired could actually get to the platform and use it in even in a leadership role or in any form. We've looked at accessibility up in the balcony and how we can make that more easily accessible in that area. And we've also looked at the type of seating that we have, and you know, the position of it, and also whether we should have some arms on certain chairs and so forth. Another area of accessibility comes to play when we talk about visibility of things and also acoustics. So one of the things when we look at the chancel design that maybe wasn't as thought about when we started this process, but I think became more important and more developed as we work through is the overall philosophy. And it's more based on what is the feel when you're sitting in the sanctuary in a pew and someone is speaking to you. What does that feel like, and where are they positioned, and how are you connecting with that person? And also, what is the feel from the pulpit, and how does that feel when you're standing closer to the audience, maybe a little more at that level versus up high and kind of down, looking down on the audience? And how does that feel from a preaching standpoint? And overall, how does the position of that relationship affect not just the location and how it feels, but also how you connect to what's actually being said and how welcome you feel to what's being preached and what is open to the word? And I think that's that area, the philosophy, is something that we have so much more to think about, but was really exciting to talk about as a group. We also talked about the visibility, of course, and how you have different viewpoints from different areas of the sanctuary, as well as from the balcony, as well as from the choir loft. The screens that have been installed, but also, you know, would we need additional screens and so forth? And also just the benefits of lighting and what type of lighting would be needed and so forth. We talked about audibility. The different materials that are chosen affect acoustics. So we have that to consider, but also the locations of microphones and how, you know, the size of the platform, how that is, the location of the microphone is affected by that and so forth, as well as the quantity and types of speakers and floor squeaks and fans, and all of these things come into play when you're considering audibility. We also talked about the comfort. If you picture that sanctuary packed with people for an event, you know, how well controlled is that temperature and the air circulation to make it a comfortable space to be in? And it may be less important if we have, say, 25, 50 people in the sanctuary, but when that sanctuary is full, it becomes a much more important factor. And so we wanted to put an idea of what that needs to be and a cost to that. So I just want to speak a little bit about accessibility. We have done some research with the United Church of Christ. There is a disabilities ministries team within the UCC. And one of the things that they talk about is that the space should be available to anybody. It should be available to everybody, and that we're there for Christ's body. And so the accessibility to Christ's body, accessibility to the space for anyone is really something that kind of is being discussed among the UCC. And they're also looking at it almost the same way we looked, those of you who know our green team, and we looked at sort of a different sort of levels of achievement for a church as far as setting goals and so forth. And a similar type of approach has been established for a disabilities review and upgrade. And so that's something that's kind of exciting to consider. The term A2A has come about, and that's meaning accessible to all. And the disabilities team I spoke of supports A2A for all aspects of church life and ministry. And that includes those who are in leadership roles. And some folks may not have that opportunity to become a leadership role if they are disabled, and to be able to provide that is kind of exciting to think about. There is a statement from the UCC. They say, in service, this is from the Fellowship of Architects, in service to God and the UCC, we are called to build and renovate spaces for worship, education, and mission that serve the Christian community and transform lives to shape spaces for worship where all are welcome. So that is something that the architect we're working with, Ann Vivian, she's a member of this group team. And I think that we're gonna be hearing more about that in the future as well. We have a guest minister coming on the 31st of October. So hopefully you'll all be able to attend and listen to that as well. So this is the viewpoint from the balcony of our lovely sanctuary. The area in the front is what we are calling the chancel zone. And we currently, because of this raised platform with the stairs, we are limited in how we're able to use this higher area. And the visibility of the sight lines from the side, you know, you can't see what's going on the other side because of that raised height. There's a lot of limitations that we found because of this design. And so one of the goals that we've been looking at is just how can we make that more flexible? So we have received four different conceptual designs from Ann Vivian. And I'm just presenting one of those with an option to it. It's a little bit yellowed. So I think going forward, we'll certainly adjust the coloring, but I think maybe you can see sort of one of the concepts here as we sort of fade into it. So what has happened here is a few pews are removed from the front in order to create a larger platform with a single step. So it's a step and then the platform, the height of the platform is 12 inches. We have an accessible ramp with a handrail at the back with the appropriate slope that it needs to get up here. And we have removed some of the pews, so you can see on the left and on the right. And we've come up with an optional chair replacement. The chairs could have some with arms, some without. They can interconnect to be similar to the pew in shape and so forth. But it gives the opportunity for you to be able to remove chairs or rearrange chairs in that area. The chancel area that's been removed here, we've replaced the back with some additional paneling in keeping with what's already present there. And there's discussion about different positions that we can put have the choirs either up on the choir loft, off to the side, or on this larger platform. And then this platform gives opportunities for larger groups to perform for theatrical kind of production and so forth. It gives a more flexible opportunity for that. And then another idea that came from Anne was that we could consider a Juliet balcony. And you can see this curve here, and it allows a centering area for someone on this accessible floor to solo or perform or read or you know, do more from this higher position, which is nicely visible from the balcony. And so this is just another idea that we've had. And so we will continue to look at all these different options. I have this in a plan view and I'm gonna show that. So you can see here that some of the pews have been removed on the right and on the left. And this particular drawing is showing the ramp coming up with the platform. And we've got the piano located here, but seasonally, for example, the piano could be relocated up onto the platform for a specific activity for solos and so forth. We're showing the opportunity to have risers for the choir on this level as well. You could also have risers on the platform. So there's three locations that have been reviewed for the choir. One is up in the choir loft, one to the side, and one on the platform here. And so we have this plan with a whole variety of different options. And this is just the chancel one. And then we have other chancel designs, and we'll be able to share those with you on meetings separately going forward. So we looked at the conceptual cost for that sanctuary design. We developed, as I said, the line item estimate. We have incorporated in beyond what we had done together with Spencer Sullivan and Vogt, the architects from the feasibility study in the past. So we've seen cost increases in materials and services since that time. The current line item estimate is at $1,200,000. And That does include items such as this redesigned chancel and all of the chairs that I'm showing, new flooring throughout the sanctuary level, new lighting, including the larger pendants, and also lighting like below the balcony and in the upper and lower narthex areas as you enter the sanctuary, and also the associated wiring and controls and so forth to serve the lighting. It also includes new recording equipment, which because of COVID, we found to be even more important, and as well as audio equipment. So we've got new microphones, new speakers, and all those components together that work with the recording. We've included in this estimate air conditioning, which our existing heating system that we have was designed to accept air conditioning in the future, and we've now included that in this estimate number. Certainly a breakout cost that could be pulled out if we choose to. And the estimate includes the general conditions and also architectural engineering. It includes a contingency and also an escalation contingency, which we've included for 2 years of escalation. So that's where we're at with that. But the nice thing about having it broken out is now we can go through and after discussions together with the congregation, we can adjust and remove and, you know, modify easily going forward. So now I'm going to move into discussions on the kitchen. So you can see here our existing kitchen with the wood cabinets. We have a laminated island with a wood top and a sink that's rarely used. We have a steel framed table and a butcher block top. And we have behind here the dishwasher, which hasn't been used for several years now. So the key thing that we were looking at when we were talking about the renovation of this area is cleanability. We want the space to feel comforting when you enter and organized. We want it to sort of have a feeling of being loved and cared for. And we want it to be easier to cook in, more comfortable to cook in. We want to remove pinch points and areas that where you get stuck and you can't easily move out of. And we also want to make sure that the things that you need access to frequently are available easily. You don't have to go into the depths of the kitchen to get them. And we'd like to have equipment that is fully functional as well. So I'm going to show you a plan view of what we've come up with for, this is what we're calling the medium scope plan. So we came up with a large scope, a medium scope, and a small scope. Each have their own floor plans. And for this meeting, we're just showing the medium for now. But to give you a feel for the flow, our thoughts on this are that we can use these front doors that abut the vestry for incoming and outgoing flow as far as food prep being generated in the back and the materials being potentially, you know, ready for serving and then coming out through this door here. And for the medium approach, we're looking at a modified half door that could open and you could have prevent people from walking regularly back and forth, but have a serving door. In the larger scope, we are talking about actually having an acoustic shutter door that could open in that area. And then for a flow for dirty materials coming back into the space, then we have the other access door here flowing back in and an area for waste to be cleaned up and rinsed and washed and dried and put away. We've also created this pantry zone here where we have the more frequently accessed items for godly play, also support for communion and the Achieve program. And our goal here is to have flexible equipment and stainless steel tables and things on casters and so forth so that the kitchen again can be flexible. When we're looking at the conceptual costs, all these estimates include the new serving cookware that we obtained in consult with Bob Psyche. We have included new countertops for all the estimates and also new hand wash sinks to make sure that they're in good locations as you enter the kitchen area or the prep area. We've included new stainless steel tables and also new pantry storage cabinets. The biggest difference between the estimates and the large is currently at a $200,000 estimate, is that that one includes new casework throughout and also new and relocated sinks. In the medium scope for $100,000, we have retained the existing casework and painted it. We also have replaced, especially the large, the three bay sink with a new larger triple sink in its current area. And then in the small scope, we've painted the casework again, but we haven't made changes to the sink so much other than adding one hand wash sink. We've also included a new dishwasher for the large and medium scope. And for the small, we have an alternate for a new dishwasher. And that's a little bit of a separate study that will be ongoing to confirm reuse of existing versus a new. So that's basically the level that we're at on the concept of the kitchen. And so I guess I'll just talk about the next steps for the capital projects. So we're still in the conceptual stage, and the conceptual stage will go as long as we need the conceptual stage to go, I think. And we'll be entering into some detailed breakout sessions with the congregation to talk about these different options, and we can show you the different floor plans that we've created, and we can speak to that in more detail. And we enter into this period of discernment where we talk about it and we align. We also need to align the schedule that we have for these projects with the needs of the congregation, but also with the different commitments we have to others using the facility. And the next step regarding the design would be to enter into a schematic phase. And during that time, we would further refine the scope, and we would align the scope together with the capital that we that becomes sort of aware, will be aware of over the next few months. And at that time, once we're aligned with the capital and what we are, what's bubbling up as the most critical items to enter into for the schematic, then we would create that schematic design. We'd confirm all the exclusions and the alternates, and then we'd advance into the detailed design phase. And during that detailed design phase, we would generate the construction documents and bid and then construct. So those are like high level for what we envision the next steps to be for the capital projects. So now I'm going to stop sharing, let someone else pick this up.
All right. Well, Amy, thank you so much for that presentation. I know you could have spoken for hours about it, reflecting still just a fraction of the work the two teams have done this summer. It's been a hardworking group of about a dozen people. I can't thank them enough. Clearly, from what Amy has indicated, you know, the work will go on. And I do just want to speak for a very brief minute about the budget before we move on to the next item in our agenda, because, you know, clearly eagle-eyed folks in the audience will understand that these cost estimates are clearly higher than what we had envisioned when we began this a couple of years ago. There's been numerous factors that have caused that. But as Pastor Vicky preached to us many, many times, and as Jonathan preached to us this morning, and we saw in our scripture, we have a lot more to gain by approaching life from a viewpoint of abundance than that of scarcity. Clearly, there will come a time for prioritizing and aligning, as Amy says, all of the things we would like to do with the funds available. But we are going to be able to do a lot. And with the work that the teams have done this summer, we have an abundance of ideas and options and exciting directions we can go with these two spaces. We have an abundance of energy that those teams have been infused with during the summer, and that I think that they will bring to you as we move to our sessions of sharing more deeply with you and getting your feedback on these ideas. And we have an abundance of faith that this is going to work out well and be an important next step in our future. So, Amy, thank you again for that presentation. And let me share my screen again. If I can click the correct thing. The next item up is a video that Lane, our video wizard, has prepared for us, reflecting the voices of several members in our congregation about how they see this campaign. Before I click to play it, I will warn you in advance, don't fret. The first several seconds of the video have no sound. When you see Rick Ripley and he begins speaking, that's when the sound begins. So don't fret, but here we go.
Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Almost makes me want to start singing. For FCC, the time now is a time to restore and a time to renovate.
And I look forward to being part of this, really carrying it forward to the next generation.
Makes me think of all the generations of our friends and worshipers and caretakers of this building, of our church building that have come before us. It's our turn now, I think, to restore the steeple.
I'm excited to see our beautiful steeple restored.
So that it will continue to be a beacon in the center of Natick for many years to come. I hope future members that we do not even know yet will be inspired by it.
To improve the lighting in the sanctuary, to improve the audio. Sometimes it's hard to hear in the sanctuary.
Susan, who was the choir director for over 20 years, she was always complaining about the audio and the lighting and the sanctuary, and would say, somebody's got to do something about this. So this is my opportunity to keep her promise to her and to help her keep her promise to the congregation.
And there's duct tape on the carpets, and we need to improve that. We wouldn't allow that to happen in our own homes. So it's definitely time to restore, renew.
And I'm very excited about our efforts to renew our jewel of Victorian space. Not just to look better, but to be better able to share our understanding of what it means to be Christ's people in the world today.
Only our sanctuary and kitchen improvement projects are designed to bring people inside, not only our own congregation, but the community as well. By renewing the sanctuary,
and our family donated a little money for the pew cushions. And now every time we come into church and sit down on the pew cushions, we think, well, we had a part of that. We have the opportunity to be a part of something, to renew our church, you know, for people to enjoy for years to come.
So I'm excited about the opportunity to start on some projects that will help renew the energy and spirit of our church congregation and bring some vibrancy into the building that we are all so lucky to be caretakers of.
The one that I'm most excited about, though, is probably reclaiming our worship space. To refocus and put a new energy into making this space more accessible and welcoming to everyone.
Our goal is to reclaim the purpose, the function, the beauty of not only our building, but of the people and its mission.
My hope for the Capital campaign is to reclaim the kitchen by renewing the dishwasher with a new, modern, green, under-counter dishwasher.
Although our historic space is beautiful, the one thing it doesn't do is really transmit our church's progressive core values. I think we deserve a space that visually reflects those core values of extravagant welcome and love.
I've been volunteering with the Capital campaign, asking people for their financial support for all of the amazing projects that we are envisioning. And one of the best things about this for me has been visiting with people and reconnecting with people and realizing how much the church community means to me. So we look forward to reconnecting with you.
So I think it's the ability for our congregation to re-engage with the broader community around us that's so exciting about the renewal of our historic building, which will be supported by this Capital campaign, the ability to draw in more of our community membership, broader than the congregation, and to make a multi-use and welcoming space is really exciting.
Church building itself has been a bit left behind while the body of the group has been so forward-thinking. And by connecting the building and then the feel within the building together to the actions and the goals that we set for ourselves, I believe that we as a group will feel very renewed. And I feel that that renewal will lead to even greater things for the generations who come.
When I joined the church in 1984, I understood myself to be making a promise to the congregation to help it tell the Christian story. It was a promise I made to all those that came before me, going back to 1651, and it's a promise I made to all those who will come after me.
Change is not new to our congregation. Our history has been marked by many pivotal moments and important decision-making as our forebears sought how best to serve the needs of our community in their times. Now, it's truly our turn to prepare for what's to come with faith, energy, and resources as we all recommit to our shared missions of welcome, inclusion, and justice.
But here's the thing, this amazing place, this amazing church family, it doesn't really ask much of us, does it? There is something about this opportunity to join in a collective action that we all agree is important for our congregation and our wider community that just inspires me. I want to be part of this commitment thing that we're all doing together. I'm excited that I can say that when the campaign plate was passed, I threw in what I could as an investment in the future of our church and in the future of a town that is evolving and leaning into all of the social justice issues that we care about so much.
Thanks in part to the efforts and support from our forefathers, we have been able to enjoy the privilege of worshiping in our historical building at the crossroads of downtown Natick. We now have the opportunity through the Capital campaign to pay back with gratitude for our blessings and to pay it forward to future generations. As Winston Churchill once said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give.
All right, that video gives me chills every time I watch it. Let me move along because As enjoyable as that was, you've all been so patient, children, and now we have a package to open. So without further ado, let me stop my share and turn it over to Karen.
Okay, now the time, drum roll. For all of you, where is Mark Dixon when you need him? So for all of you rule followers, now's the time you've been waiting for. For all those who've already opened your package. But we wanted all of you, who live in the Natick area, this week or yesterday, you got a package delivered to you, special delivery. If you live in Nashville or Billerica or someplace else, you might have gotten a package that looks like this week. But we wanted to make sure that each of us as a member of First Church, we own a piece of this historic building through our time, our gifts, our service, and our contributions to it. And so we wanted to give you a representative, symbolic piece of our church. So open your bags. You're going to find a little card. It's going to tell you a little bit about what this is. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to find encased in here a slate coaster that goes back to the original church roof and steeple dating back to 1875. This is your tiny piece of the church's history. And as you put your morning tea or coffee on this every day, we hope you'll be inspired to pray for our church and that we will continue for our church to continue to be a welcoming light into the world. This is your piece. This is your piece of our church. Thank you.
And thank you, Karen, and the events team and all the people on that events team for coming up with this amazing idea.
There's also cookies for you to enjoy through the rest of the meeting.
Oh, of applause. Well, hopefully everybody enjoys their present. Thank you. All right, moving on. Let me share my screen briefly to just tell us that now is a very exciting time to hear how our campaign has gone so far during the quiet phase. And to do that, I am going to turn over the podium to both Jay and Bill.
Yes, thank you. June 13th, just a few months ago, you as a congregation voted to raise $750,000 in a capital campaign. What we've been doing over the last few months is what I call the quiet phase. We've planned a kickoff event. It was supposed to be in person. It was supposed to be a big dinner. And then we realized that COVID was causing us to rethink that. And that's why we're gathering virtually. During this quiet phase, we developed a lot of publicity. We had a group of folks doing that, both internal. You got a brochure in the mail just a few days ago, and external publicity to the wider community. We also had conversation and prayer about the spiritual underpinnings of this campaign. I know that you've participated in some of the activities that group has been leading you on Sunday mornings. We also, during this quiet phase, approached a group of folks to make their pledge in advance of this kickoff event. We asked them to make a three-year pledge to support this capital campaign. They were, sometimes we call them advanced pledges, sometimes we call them major donors, sometimes we call them leadership gifts. Bill is now going to share with you the result of that advanced gift soliciting that we've done, the number of pledges and so on.
Thank you, Jay. I'd just like to say, to give Jay a good shout out here for the work that he's done. He has picked up on the Capital campaign. He has guided many of us through a period of time. where we're now at the point where we can share the total that was raised during the quiet phase. And again, drum roll. Come on. So far, we have raised a total of $709,200. Whoops, that's backwards. I can't do that. $709,200.
Woo!
Look at the faces. Everybody hasn't seen it before. Here we go.
Wow. Bill, are you also going to share the number of pledges and the total dollar amount raised so far?
Sure. So far, we've had 36 pledges totaling that $709,000. And so far, cash received to date is $277,000 and change.
Well, I think they do. Right after the lake, they...
Wow. So almost $300,000 already donated, $709,000 pledged over the three-year period of time so far. Absolutely astonishing. 93%, something like that, 94% of your goal. That's great news. I actually have the opportunity to announce some more great news to you all. First, I want to remind you that both Amy and Doug have indicated that costs have gone up. Your initial estimates for the work that you wanted to do, those have increased in cost over the last 2 to 2.5 years. As all of you know, the pandemic has caused costs to go up. So it's now opportunity for all of the rest of you who have not yet pledged to make your pledge to the church for this campaign. We hope and pray that you're going to be generous, that you will think sacrificially, that you will be faithful. And we want every single person to participate. If you can make a pledge of $50 over the next 3 years, we're going to be grateful about that. If you can make a pledge of $1,000 a year over the next 3 years, we'll be grateful about that. To encourage you to think sacrificially and generously, I have the opportunity to tell you today that there is now a matching challenge available. For every dollar of new pledge that are received after this kickoff event, this individual, this donor, anonymous donor, will match it dollar for dollar. So if you can pledge $1,000 each year for the next 3 years, your pledge becomes $2,000, becomes $6,000 total. If you can pledge $100, your pledge becomes $200. This anonymous donor also wants to encourage those of you that have already given to consider being generous. And so if you've already pledged, this person, this donor, will increase your pledge, will double any additional amount that you pledge. So if you make a new pledge, it will be matched. If you add to an existing pledge, it will also be matched. I want you to think about that as you are being prepared in your own heart and mind and life by the Spirit of God to participate in this campaign. Hey, wait a second. I didn't tell you yet the total amount that this anonymous donor will match. Every dollar that is donated between now and when the campaign concludes will be matched up to a total of $100,000. So you have the possibility, I'm getting emotional, you have the possibility of raising another couple of $100,000 or more. And I am really grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this. I personally have now, in my mind and my heart, have shifted the goal from $750,000 up to somewhere between $850,000 and $900,000. That's what I believe in my heart you're going to ultimately raise. Thanks be to God.
Oh my. That
wow.
More confetti. I just
more confetti. Yeah.
Make an announcement, and I didn't know what it was going to be. I am blown away.
I am also blown away. I think of the mission statement of my college, and it's that we have life and we have it abundantly. And this group clearly has life and we have it abundantly. If I can read through my next slides without crying here, you could put up the next slide, Doug. I know you all want to know what's next. I'm so thrilled with this. We are clearly going to blow that $750,000 goal right out of the water and exceed that. It's really terrific. How exciting. So Rick and Sharon, who can't be with us today, they have recruited the following volunteers, and you will be receiving a visit from one of these fine folks. The visits will take place in this month of October and in the beginning of November. I think you know most of these folks, Jeff and Doug and Mindy, Janine, Sharon, Bill Ladd. We also have Bill and Gwen Ramage, so I'm saying Bill's last name, myself, Sue Masioli, Lane, Miriam Jennings, Ken Pierce, Bill and Gwen, as I mentioned, Rick Ripley, Wayne, and John Wiegraff. So we have a great group of folks. One of these folks will be in touch with you. Why don't you advance the slide, Doug? So one of those folks will either call or email you to arrange an in-person visit. It could be in person. That would be terrific if we can visit you in person, but we know people have concerns about COVID, so we could also do a Zoom call with you or a regular phone call. Answer any further questions that you have about the projects or the campaign. We are going to have more info sessions, as Amy mentioned, about the project specifically. So there will be more information for you coming information sessions. But when you talk to the volunteer who's going to call you, you could always ask questions there about the projects or the campaign, and we'll put you in touch with the right person. Your visitor will ask you to prayerfully consider your pledge. Keep in mind that we have this fabulous matching opportunity. So be as generous as you possibly can. I'm still thinking about the wonderful drawing, the conceptual drawing that Amy shared of the front of our church sanctuary. And that to me just, it's incredible. As you know, Jonathan doesn't speak to us from the pulpit. Vicky very often didn't speak to us from the raised pulpit. They come down and they stand on the floor. And I just think I'd love to be able to do the full range of options that the sanctuary teams have been hard at work at to make the front of the church more accessible. But back to my script, sorry, I digress. They will obviously provide you with a pledge card that you will fill out, and you'll place it in a sealed envelope and give that back to the visitor. If your visit is arranged by Zoom or a phone call, the visitor is either going to mail you a pledge card or drop it off in your mailbox and try to pick it up fairly quickly, because we have 6 or so, 7 weeks until we have our campaign celebration, and we really need to get those pledge cards back from all of you. And your visitor will obviously return the sealed envelope to the office and the campaign treasurer. The amount that people are pledging is completely confidential. Your visitor will not know that amount. Doug and I, as co-chairs and the entire steering team, we did not know. Jay had alleged that we were doing well. We had no idea how well we were doing. So your pledge is confidential. Just want to say that. And Celebration Sunday is November 21st. So we will wrap up the solicitation portion of the campaign by November 21st. And as I understand, we're planning the special events team, the incredible team of Ken and Karen are probably with their team are planning a.
There's a lot more on that team, and they deserve credit too. It's not just.
And they were the busy folks that were, some of them were working yesterday. A lot of folks were working the vestry to prepare the gift bags, but it'll be a coffee hour on steroids. So meet in the vestry and have a great coffee hour and have a further announcement of what we have raised in the public phase, the family phase. It's our opportunity now. It's our opportunity, all the members of our church family, to step up because it's our turn.
Thank you, Gail, very much. Man, this is, I could tell you were choked up earlier. I'm choked up now. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to John Wegraff. John leads the spiritual support team of the Capital Campaign Steering Team. And he and his team have written a campaign prayer, which I would like us to all say in unison, but John will lead us in that. So I will advance the slide here and take it away, John.
Okay, well, just before we begin our prayer, I mean, given what Jay and Bill have shared, let this be a prayer of gratitude and a prayer of resolve and sense of promise that we can do this, and we obviously have a lot to give to this church and to this church's future. So in that spirit, let us pray. Good and gracious God, may your spirit of renewal stir our hearts, refresh our minds, and strengthen our faith. Guide us as we make plans to restore the spaces in which we gather, honoring our inheritance while building toward our future. Let our work together be a reclamation, a remembering that becomes a remembering, finding new possibilities in what has been entrusted to us while broadening our vision of inclusivity. In all this, let us re-engage confidently with faith in our future and in shared ministry to one another and the communities beyond our walls. And may our work and the fruits of our labor give voice to our dedication and recommitment to courageously carry forward the flame of your great purposes of justice and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
What's this?
I can't thank everybody enough for attending. It's been quite a day. Anybody's free to take themselves off mute.
Deb and Steve, I have your bag and I'll hold on to it till you get back from Florida.
I had one incorrect name of the volunteers. It's actually Jeanette Zaretter, who will be visiting, not Wayne.
Uh-huh. And anyone who did not receive a gift basket, be sure to contact the church. Or even if you got a coaster, and there were all ranges of quality with those, if you're not quite satisfied, there are some left that are still pretty good. So you can come in and get it if you didn't get it. And if you want to exchange, there's opportunity for that.
I think it's pretty cool to be able to have one of these, like an actual piece of slate from
really nice, yeah.
Church. That's really kind of a powerful thing. So,
well, I'd like to give a shout out to Karen and Ken and Judy and Jeff, who've really been kind of the public face of this Capital campaign. I mean, you guys have done a great job. You really have.
Yeah, and also Peg Waters, our amazing administrative support person. I don't know if anybody noticed those that attended in person this morning, but outside the church, we now have two banners, both on the North Main Street side and the East Central Street side, announcing our campaign, and those were the creative work of Peg. And that's just one of many, many things that she's been doing to support us in this.
I want you all to know that I have an important phone call to make right after we conclude, and that phone call is to Vicki and Than Guest.
Oh, good.
So let's remember them and how they were a part of not only laying the groundwork for this successful campaign, but making this successful campaign as successful.
Yes, and I hope they're able to watch this whole video taping.
Yeah, Jonathan, did you say that Hank is positioned to get this recording up pretty soon to the
website? Yeah, yeah. He and I discussed it today, and it will be up probably later this afternoon.
That's fantastic.
I shouldn't speak for him, but if I know Hank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, please tell Vicky we all say hello.
I want to say, does it include Doug's portion in the middle?
What's that?
Does the video that gets uploaded include your portion in the middle where you interject?
Yeah, my cue sheet here says in bold words, do not move the cursor from the screen while the video is playing. But I couldn't. I just, sorry about that. It's a great video. And by the way, thanks to all the people that contributed to that. And you all understand from watching it that your remarks were edited for length. I think Lane does have the idea of producing a longer version so that we can see everybody's comments in their full length as well. So
the extended director's cut.
The extended director's cut. And the cameos, Neil, Sue, and the sloth. The sloth. How many people saw the sloth?
I love seeing Neil on there.
Yeah.
You would have loved this campaign.
And Susan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
Susan.
Good. Oh, yeah.
As well as the old pew cushions. Sarah Beth, I really liked your story about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the first or second time we came to the church and you were in the middle of raising the money and we gave a little bit, not knowing we'd necessarily come back to the church, but we did. And I was like, oh, look at that. I had a little part of that.
It's a good remember the other ones were so lumpy and gross, you kind of wondered, why is this part hard and this part soft? And
you don't want to know. You don't want to know.
Sarah Beth, the doxology that you all sang this morning, that was incredible. You are the power trio. You yeah. and Sarah Lynn and Beth, your blend is incredible. I think the congregation, I think none of us hummed because
right.
you were so stellar. So I hope to hear that again.
Right.
Absolutely. That was great.
That's nice. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Turning into coffee hour. And of course, we have to start the pregame festivities. We've only got 7 hours to go until the big matchup tonight.
We've only got 2 hours until the Red Sox. First things first.
Yeah, I can tell you, though, as we were selecting the date for this event, and we thought it was going to be in person, tonight's football game loomed large in those discussions.
Oh, yeah. I was like, we're not doing it on Sunday the night, the October 3rd, when Brady comes back to town.
Did you really name your dog after him, Karen?
Yes, his name's Brady.
Great. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of the
thank
day.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Everybody, so much work. Thank you, Amy and Doug. Great work.
Bye. Blessings, folks.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.